Gracious God, be with us. For Jesus' sake, help us. Amen. Judges chapter 8, verse 4. And rather than take the temptations of Christ, I've taken our peculiar temptation at this time. Judges 8, 4. And Gideon came to Jordan and passed over, he and the 300 men that were with him, faint yet pursuing them. Gideon is not an example of Christ, although in one sense it could be. What he really is an example of you and me. He's not a man weak in the faith, as some people say, although I think he had certain weaknesses, but he was the greatest leader the Jews ever possessed, from the death of Joshua to the birth of David. And he freed their land from a lot of trouble. You'll find that he's given 100 verses in the Judges. Samson is only given 96, the other great judge. And he has 3 whole chapters. I know Samson has 4, but they're shorter chapters. He has many parallels with us. The first one is that he lived when the land was in a terrible mess, and ours is now. I was hearing this week that the married couple in this country now pay 44% more tax than any other country in the developed world. That is the government acting against marriage. They have been doing it for a while. But that's just one thing of the great troubles we're in. The troubles with Muslims. The Muslims have stabbed a man to death in the street in Rochdale over this Gaza trouble. And the national press won't put it in. The only paper to carry the story was, I think, the Rochdale Herald or something like that. But the fact is that there's terrible things. There's been a meeting this last week of the MPs just to deal with the fallout of the Gaza, because there's been 250 attacks on Jewish people during January. That there was only 454 during the whole of the last year, and that was an unprecedented number. It's getting difficult. And the days are getting difficult. Now the people fled to the mountains and hid in dens and caves because 2 lots of people came upon the land. First the Midianites. Now the Midianites were a mixture of Arab and living in the Sinai. And they came up and they came in huge numbers. They came onto the valley of Jezreel, which was the main corn growing area, and they ran raids as far as Gaza. They'd come up when the harvest was ripe and simply reap the fields, and the Israelites could do nothing to stop them. They were having a terrible time of it, short of food and short of everything else. And then, added to the Midianites, who were descended from Keturah, the second wife of Abraham, and had some relationship to the Jews, then came the Amalekites. They were terrible. Amalek hated Israel. Joshua had beaten them thoroughly in the desert, and they resented it to the core. They'd done the attack, but they'd forgotten all that. They just wanted revenge on Israel. And they came up with their camels. Now, this is the first time we ever read in history of camels being used in warfare. So the Jews face this huge, ungainly, uncouth-looking beast, very swift of foot, and they found it a very difficult fight. They couldn't stand up to Amalek and the Midianites. Now this lot came up, says, like grasshoppers. They simply came up like locusts and devoured the entire land. It was a horrible business and something they were in. So God raised them up a deliverer. Now a deliverer was a very weak man. He was called Jerubbabel, which is Gideon. And what happened was he was hiding. He was threshing the corn in the wine press. Now that may not sound much, but they threshed the corn on the mountain top where the breeze was strong and blew away the chaff. And they didn't go to the wine press in the bottom of the valley to do it. But he was threshing corn by the wine press when the angel of the Lord appeared to him. And if you look back to chapter 7, chapter 6, sorry, verse 11, and there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah and pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Now that raised a question in his mind straight away, and it raises a question in anyone's mind. It did even in Moses. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all the miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? And now the Lord hath forsaken us, and delivered us into the hand of the Midianites. Now God could have answered him very easily and said, well, the land has behaved wickedly, it's gone into idolatry. But instead the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? The fact is, Israel very tardily, after 7 years of this treatment and starvation, had repented. And the Lord had sent them a prophet who gave them the bluntest talk. He said, this has come because you've gone after idols and God has done it to you. There was Gideon sent to rescue them. Now Gideon wanted a sign. So he said, sit here to the angel, or stand here, and I'll go and get you something. So he went and got an offering. He must have killed a calf or something, or a kid, and he offered this meat and everything to the angel. And the angel touched it with his staff, and it went up to heaven. Now, if you look at the verses, and look at verse 14, the Lord looked upon him. The angel of the Lord it was, and the angel of the Lord is a vision of God before Christ came. So God came to him personally. And when you're in trouble, you can expect God to come to you personally and help you. Now, what he had to learn was to trust God. So, what God did was allowed him to break down his father's idol that night. His father had an image of Baal and a grove and an altar there. So Gideon took some of his own men and he went and smashed it down. When he said he was from a poor family in Ephraim were the main tribe suffering off these raiders, and they were poor militarily. They weren't a good tribe military-wise, so that's what he meant. And he said, I'm the least. He meant, I'm the youngest in my father's house. Well, now, God said, go and do this. He started off by breaking down an idol. That roused the men of the place, and they'd have killed him on the spot. But his father stepped in and saved him, even though he was a heathen. His father appears to have not shared Gideon's faith at all. Now, the sign God had given him then was that he was safe after he'd knocked down the idol. Then you read in verse 33 that the whole of this huge crew came upon him. All the Midianites, the Amalekites, and the children of the east, that's the Arabs, were gathered together and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel, on top of the corn, it is. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. What it literally means is the Spirit of the Lord clothed himself with Gideon. And he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered unto him. That's his father's house. And he got Manasseh and Zebulun and Naphtali. Why he didn't get Ephraim, I don't know. I suppose he was a little tribe and he thought this huge tribe of Ephraim will resent my calling for them. So he wouldn't. And now, after that, Gideon had second thoughts. He thought, how do I know God's going to save me? So he spread a fleece and he said, if the fleece is wringing wet with dew and all the earth is dry, I'll know that the Lord has spoken and sent me. And he wrung out of the fleece in the morning a huge amount of dew. And then he said, Lord, don't be angry with me. If the fleece is dry and all the ground is covered in dew, then I'll know you've sent me. And that night that happened. And then he went down to the camp, remember, with his servant Purah, and he heard two men talking. And they said, we had a dream. And in the dream, a loaf of barley bread came rolling down the hill, and it smashed all our tents and flattened them. And the man said, this is none other than Gideon. And so he went back and he said to the men, now, this is the point. He said to the men who were with me, take pitchers and take torches and hide the torches in the pitchers, and when I say to you, break them, we'll go in. But something had happened between, and it's what had happened between that really interests me today. God said to him, there are too many men with you. He had 32,000 men, and he was facing 135,000 men with camels, which they're afraid of. And God said, 32,000 is far too many. So he said, let everybody who's afraid and everybody who's not with you in heart go home. So he said, everybody who doesn't want to be here, go home. And 22,000 left him. He was left with 10,000 men. And God said to him, these are still too many. Go down now to the stream and let them drink. So he took them down to the stream and they drank. Now some threw themselves on the floor and drank. Others stood and drank, or knelt with on one knee and scooped up water and drank it. Now why he was told to keep the 300 who scooped up the water and stood, and to get rid of the 9,700 who lay down to drink, isn't perfectly clear. Some people think that they were the unsoldierly ones who didn't keep watching while they're in the presence of the enemy. But I think the explanation of Josephus is probably correct. God said, take the least fit ones, the older ones, the ones whose knees would creak to get down by the water and who couldn't get themselves flat and get up again in a hurry. Take the worst of the soldiers and follow me. So he did that. And that 300 who broke their pitchers and held up their torches and cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon, were those 300. Now God, whenever he does anything, strips from us everything that can help us forward. And we're left alone. I've never known God work any other way. God takes away all we trust in and then tests us. And every one of us has to go through that test. So that 300 men had to chase away 135,000 well-armed men who'd come meaning business and wanted their food from the land. And God did it. He set every man's sword against his fellow, and Gideon burst through. Now I'm not going into all the explanations of it, but at the end of it all, Gideon set out with his 300 men to pursue all these others. And the first one he got hold of was Zeb, which means raven, and Oreb, which means wolf. There were lesser generals, and then when he got hold of them, he chased after the others. Now it says, faint yet pursuing. David was left in the same position when 400 out of his 600 men were too tired to cross the brook Besor. And they just stopped there. They couldn't go on. They just had it. And at that point, David took on 200 men. And it says, faint yet pursuing. Well, that is our position. What it means in this verse is they were hungry and weak, but they hadn't given up the chase. We're in the same position. Now, that is all God would have to say to us this morning, and I'm sure it's correct, that he strips away from 32,000 down to 10,000, and then he strips away from 10,000, 9,700, and reduces them to a quite ridiculous number, and then with that scores a mighty victory through faith. Now, Gideon went wrong afterwards and all the rest. I'm not going through it all, but I assure you, God did that to teach us a lesson, and we need the lesson. Amen. Now, let us...